From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of June, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way today, we'll hear an update of crop conditions in Illinois and Indiana, Nebraska and Minnesota from the state statisticians, and all about tomorrow's Weed Science Field Day to be held on the South Farms right here in Urbana-Champaign. You're invited. Kicks off around 7:30 a.m. All the details later in today's edition of the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear it again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. It's a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day sharply higher. July wheat futures at 649.5 were up 19 and a quarter. December at 692 and three quarters, up 20 and a quarter for the afternoon. July hard red in Kansas City at $6.70, up 19 and a half cents. July corn futures today, $6.09. The final trade up 9.5 cents at 2 o'clock Central. September at 563 out of the electronic, up 26. The December at 560, up 26. And the March futures at 570 and a quarter, up 24 for the day. The May contract at 577, up 23 and three quarters. In July at $5.82, up 23 and a quarter in the corn pit. July soybean futures, $14.32.5, up 48 and a quarter on the end of the day. August at $14.19, up 48 and three quarters. September, $13.95 and a quarter, up 44 and three quarters. November beans at $13.81 and a quarter, up 42. January at $13.78 and three quarters, 39 and three quarter cents higher. And the March contract of next year at $13.40 and a quarter, up 31. The May at $13.18 and three quarters, up 29 and a half. July of next year at $13.17, up 28 cents. And the 2013 November contract at $12.32.5, up 28 and a quarter. Bean meal finished at $4.26.30, up $13.40. And the bean oil at $50.30, up $1.54. Live cattle futures finished the August at $117.50, down 47.5. September feeders at $155.20, down 2.55. And the July lean hogs at $95.10, down 35 cents on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour on the day. Crude oil futures, July contract, $84.06 a barrel, up 79 cents. Ethanol at $2.09.8 a cents and a penny, or rather two and a tenth of a penny of a cent up. And the heating oil for the day, diesel fuel, at $2.63.6. That's 18, or rather 1.8 cents higher for the afternoon. Natural gas at $2.55.8, down 7.7 cents. Gold futures on the day at $1,622.20 an ounce, $3.50 lower. And the U.S. dollar now at 81.39, that's up 0.55. The CRB index at 277.21, 3.59 higher on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 92 degrees. It'll be breezy with a south to southwest wind at about 21 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 29 on the afternoon. And then tonight, mostly clear, a low of 71 degrees with a south-southwest wind at 11 to 16. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 93. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy and 72. It'll still remain windy with a 10 to 16 mile an hour steady wind, gusting to 22. And then Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high of 87. With a west-northwest wind at 8 to 10 Thursday evening, mostly clear, a low of 65. And Friday, sunny skies and 86. Friday night, clear and 66. Saturday, sunny and 90. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 71. Mostly sunny on Sunday and a high of 89 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear and a low of 65. And on Monday of next week, sunny skies and a high near 84.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to take a look at the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. What a day it was in Chicago. Tell me about the marketplace and just exactly what it is that you saw there that really made the market pop. I assume it was almost all the weather market. Well, it appears that Wayne is not with us for the moment, so we'll try and see what we can figure out as to exactly why he's gone. I'm not quite certain why that's the case, but we'll try to get back to Wayne here in just a second. Maybe he's there. Hey, Wayne, are you with me? Nope, he's not. Well, nonetheless, we'll see if we can't talk to Wayne in just a bit. In the mean space, we'll check in on a couple of other things here in a moment or two, including what the crop progress report looked like yesterday. And we'll get an update on what tomorrow's weed science fields day will be like right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. And it all, of course, can be heard again, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Yesterday afternoon, USDA NASS released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 5% of the corn crop has silk. That's well ahead of average. Normally, that's about 2% on the rolling five-year. It was 2% at this same time last year, by the way. The condition of the crop is said to be 52% good for corn, 11% excellent, compares to the previous week at 54-12, and last year at 56-14 on this same date approximately. Soybeans emerged now are listed at 95% compared with the rolling five-year average of 81%. Last year at this time, 77% of the soybean crop had emerged. On this date now, 5% of the crop this year is bloomed. That compares to last year and the rolling five-year average of 2%. And the condition of the bean crop, 48% in good condition, 8% in excellent. Last week, those numbers were 51-9, and last year, they were 57% in good condition at this date, and 11% for soybeans in excellent. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office. Statewide, temperatures averaged at near normal 73 degrees, and rainfall accumulations were reported at 94 1/7 inch. Which was just 6 1/7 inch below normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, June 17th. However, not all crop reporting districts were blessed with normal rainfall, as the southern third of the state is still experiencing some very dry conditions. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 25% very short, 50% short, and 25% adequate. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 887. Which was 108 units or 14% ahead of the historic average. Corn growth continued at a healthy pace last week with a reported average height of 42 inches, a growth of 13 inches in just 1 week. And this height is compared to 21 inches a year ago and 25 for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn height was the East Southeastern District with an average height of 55 inches. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in 52% good or excellent condition, down 4 percentage points from last week. Soybean emergence advanced to 97% compared to 87% a year ago and 77% for the five-year average. 3% of the crop was reported blooming. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 47% good or excellent condition, down 3 percentage points from last week. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 85% ripe, and this compares with 32% a year ago and 37% for the five-year average. Wheat harvest advanced to 70%, well ahead of last year's 3% and the 12% five-year average. Overall, the wheat crop was rated in 68% good or excellent condition, and generally speaking, farmers have been pleased with not only their yields but also quality and test weights of wheat harvested so far this year. This has been Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. This is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for week ending Sunday, June 17th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 1.78 inches, leaving 6.7 days suitable for field work. Temperatures range from 45 as a low to 96 for the high. Hot, dry conditions persisted most of the week until scattered rain showers arrived over the weekend. Enough rain fell in some areas to temporarily relieve drought stress to crops, while other areas received none at all. Corn condition fell again as drier conditions continued and is now rated 37% good to excellent, compared with 55% last year at this time. 97% of the intended soybean acreage has emerged, compared with 69% last year. 4% of the soybean acreage is blooming. Spider mites are beginning to appear in drought-stressed soybean fields. Soybean conditions also fell further and is now rated 32% good to excellent, compared with 56% last year at this time. 45% of the wheat acreage has been harvested, compared to 3% last year and 7% with 5-year average. Some operations were planting double crop soybeans after their wheat was harvested, while others are waiting for a rain. This is Greg Matley reporting.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 17, 2012. Topsoil moisture supplies improved over the previous week as widespread rains moved across the state. Although the storm systems were strong with localized heavy rain that totaled over 9 inches at one reporting station, statewide, crop conditions remained relatively unchanged from the previous week. As of June 17th, topsoil moisture supplies were rated with 1% very short, 7% short, 75% adequate, and 17% surplus. Corn was rated with 82% in good to excellent condition. The average height was 23 inches. Average soybean height was 6 inches, and soybeans were rated with 86% in fair to good condition. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 17th, 2012. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with a crop weather report for the week ending June 17, 2012. Above normal temperatures coupled with little or no precipitation across northern and western areas continue to stress crops and pastures. However, rain across the southeastern quarter of the state brought some relief to that area. Irrigation was active. Crop development is ahead of normal, requiring more water to be applied at this time of year. Wheat harvest stands at 11%. Harvest continues in the southeast and is moving west along the southern tier of counties. Wheat conditions rated 38% good to excellent, below 58% good to excellent last year and 65 average. Corn rated 62% in good to excellent condition, below last year's 75 good to excellent and 78 average. Soybeans rated 61% in good to excellent condition, below 77 last year and 78 average. Alfalfa and pastures are showing little growth due to the dry conditions. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for those updates. If you'd like, you can hear them again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Aaron Hager, weed scientist, here to promote tomorrow's event on campus on the South Farm. So
on
weed science
farm tour
tomorrow. What will you be doing and who's invited?
Well, tomorrow we will have our annual Weed Science Field Day, which is a great opportunity for anyone who'd like to come out and participate, to come out and see what we've done this year with our research plots.
What kinds of things are there?
Well, we have multiple plots, literally acres and acres worth of signed plots that people can look through, they can walk through, they can make their own comparisons if they'd like to, maybe find their favorite herbicide program and see how well it's performed against some of the competitors in the same trials. We'll have things that experiments that may be containing only soil-applied products. We'll have others that are total post programs, and we'll have some that are mixes of both, actually.
Those who come, will you be talking, making some discussion about these?
It's pretty informal, actually. Our head of our herbicide evaluation program, Doug Maxwell, usually will walk around with a speaker system. And for those who are interested in learning more about each specific trial, he'll stop at each one and give a little bit of brief introduction and background about what the trial is, some of the treatments that might be contained within it, some of the observations that have been made about that experiment so far to date. And then gives the folks a little bit of time if they want to mill around and look through the various treatments and the replicates. They're more than welcome to do that. So that would be really the formal part of it, if you would. But folks are certainly free to mill around. They can follow Doug around if they'd like to, or they can walk around at their own pace. There'll be faculty, staff, weed science faculty and staff will be there. Some of our graduate students will be there as well. And certainly make ourselves available for anybody if they have any questions.
Historically, who comes to this event?
It's been a mix of people down through the years. We have a lot of our company contacts or industry representatives, you know, folks, for example, from, you know, companies like BASF, Bayer, Monsanto, et cetera. Quite a few farmers do show up for this, and several from the seed industry and the retail applicators will be there as well.
But everybody can come if they'd like to come out.
Everybody can come. We'll start off anywhere between 7:30 to 8 o'clock at the seed house. We'll have some donut items, some coffee there. Registration is $10 a person. And that covers the field day booklet that everybody would get, as well as the noontime lunch.
Oh, noontime lunch. So
noontime
lunch. It's kind of a long morning, relatively speaking, mm-hmm. if you're starting mm-hmm. at 7:30. Mm-hmm. You've got lots of things to see.
Right.
Are you going to take rack wagons out or how do you transfer from one place to another?
Usually what we'll do is most of the things that we'll be looking at tomorrow would be immediately south of Windsor Road on the animal science tracks that we do our research on. So once we break up around the seed house, and you know, who knows, that may not be till somewhere between 8 and 8:30, everybody gets back in their vehicles and we just more or less caravan down the driveway, cross Windsor Avenue, and then we'll pull into the animal science track, and most everything that we'll look at there are on the first four blocks, long east-west facing blocks, that we'll come to. And from that point on, everybody gets out of their vehicles and we'll start walking around, and that, like I said, they can look at whatever they want at their own leisure.
So it's a dry heat. It'll be a warm day, but it's not been too terribly bad outside,
no,
despite
all.
The fact
no.
that it's been awfully hot.
Warm, but hopefully we'll have a lot of stuff there that folks can be, you know, can learn from, too.
Well, what are they going to learn from this year? What are the big important points in the weed science?
Well, we've got several trials that we think would be of some interest to folks. One in particular, earlier this year, we had a lot of issues with spray tank contamination. A lot of times as we were moving back to an era, we're using more residual herbicide in soybean. This year is a time where we've actually had quite a bit of our corn that was already emerged and ready to be treated post-emergence at the same time that we were putting on a lot of the residual herbicides for soybean. And so what happened in many cases was we weren't always careful enough to clean out everything from the soybean herbicide before we would go in and spray the corn post. So we had quite a few reports of corn injury with that. And so we tried to simulate that. We have a very large experiment. I think it's close to 36 different treatments where we took, you know, a handful of soybean residual herbicides and we said, all right, your typical 1x rate of these products would be this. And so we said, well, let's take 1% of that and we'll put it in with glyphosate and spray the corn to see what the symptoms look like. And to make sure we had symptoms develop, we also took 10% of that rate. And so we put these side by side, and we can show and demonstrate some of the, we still have some persistence of that early injury on the lower leaves, but surprisingly and remarkably, that corn recovered very, very well from that type of response. Then a lot of just your standard, more or less, comparisons and programs that we have from some of the more popular ones that people are interested in, that industry tends to promote in some form or fashion. The other thing that we'll demonstrate clearly on some of our trials is the importance of timely precipitation. With a lot of our residual herbicides, we see some very good results from our corn residual herbicides, but many of our soybean products laid on some fairly dry soils for about 3 days too long. And so we're really not necessarily immune from some of the environmental challenges that many of the farmers face this year as well.
Again, what time do they need to be at the seed house?
They can start to show up at the seed house anymore between 7:30 and 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All right. $10, and mm-hmm. they get lunch, and they can go out and see all the weed science experiments, mm-hmm. talk to you and you other folks that are involved in that process. Mm-hmm.
We'll have all the treatments signed. We'll probably leave the signs up for several weeks, and they're certainly welcome to come back and look at them at their leisure.
So you're going to go to the Seed House, which is right next to the Assembly Hall, actually just to the east of the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. That's the brick house you would normally go to if you're coming to Agronomy Day in the month of August. And then eventually you go south of Windsor Road, and once you get out to the weed science experiments there, if you look due to the west, you'll see a pair of towers. I want to mention that because those are the home towers for the radio station here on campus, AM 580, and you'll want to take a look at those, and maybe our nice little Black Angus herd will be out there,
yeah,
too.
There you go.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate it, Aaron.
Thank you, Todd.
Aaron Hager is weed scientist at the University of Illinois. You can join him tomorrow morning. That's Wednesday morning for the Weed Science Field Day. Starts at 7:30 a.m. at the Seed House on the South Farms. We hope to see you there. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, just a couple of minutes anyway, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of June. On the phone line with us is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to talk about the weather forecast. Don, it's really warm here, but at least, as they say out west, it's a dry heat, I guess.
Well, yeah, and it's going to stay that way for a little bit, although the overall pattern with our temperatures will actually start to moderate as we get into, especially next week. We're going to see an area of low pressure across the Great Lakes, most of New England, and the jet stream will be directed to come southeast out of Canada. So while we're not expecting any significant or huge cool down, it'll be enough that our 7-day average with temperatures will be very close to normal, if not just a little bit below.
Does the low bring with it any rainfall?
Some. It's going to, again, favor areas out west. We talked a little bit about this last week where Minnesota, Iowa, eastern areas in Nebraska, the eastern Dakotas, down into Missouri would fare the best. And that's going to be the area, especially here in the next 5 to 7 days, that's going to have the most activity. Between now and early next week, most of the Corn Belt has got some chances for rain, but they're going to be spotty. Amounts aren't going to be terribly impressive. The middle to the end of next week is going to offer up our better chances.
The trade has been worried over the last day or so about the very strong winds, the very high temperatures, and what kind of prospects that might mean for the corn crop in many parts of the Midwest. Indiana seems like it's maybe in the hot spot at this point. Is that right?
Well, it is, although I certainly see that this pattern that's going to develop in the next 10 days is going to ease some of those concerns, not necessarily with the rain. That's a concern. It's going to be better than a week away before the better chances come, but at least with temperature, there will be some relief.
Is there anything on the global stage that we should be watching? China, for instance?
Well, as we go over to China and Eastern Asia, we see a pretty active pattern. There's going to be good chances for rain over most of the key growing areas of China. Only a few dry areas, and they're not very big. So their prospects are looking good right now.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. When we come back in 2 minutes, we will talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. This is the Closing Market Report.
It's National Cherry Tart Day. Sweet cherries date back to prehistoric times in Asia. By the way, that story about George Washington and the cherry tree is more fiction than fact. Parson Weems attributed the anecdote to an aged lady who was a distant relative and, when a girl, spent much of her time who referred to George as cousin. Really, we cannot tell a lie. It's also International Picnic Day. In Europe during the 14th century, the earliest picnics were medieval hunting feasts in England, featuring hams and other baked meats as well as pastries. Picnicking really came into its own during the Victorian age. Picnics, as Americans know them, date back to the middle of the 19th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Edmund Ruffin died. He was a pioneer in the study of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin investigated the possibility of using lime to raise pH in peat soils to improve agricultural productivity. In 1892, macadamia nuts were first planted in Hawaii. In 1981, the first genetically engineered vaccine was announced by USDA. The vaccine, using gene splicing, was designed to prevent hoof and mouth disease. And in 1993, African honeybees killed a small dog in Tucson, Arizona, and were dubbed by the media as killer bees. Their original source was from crossbreeding with tropical African bees imported into Brazil for experimental work. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line to take a look at the agricultural futures markets now with us is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Man, it was a big day in Chicago. The markets rallied again. Weather-driven?
Weather, and let's not forget the outside markets. We didn't have any real bad news out of Europe. The G20 meeting seeming to go well. The dollar down 60 cents on the day, the crude oil up about a dollar on the day, and, of course, the dry weather that we're facing over here in my neighborhood and out my back door.
Oh, yeah, it's been much drier in Indiana than other parts of the Midwest, although there are plenty of places that have been dry. What do conditions look like today there?
You know, with the hot weather, with the not cooling off overnight, and with the wind as much as it is, the corn has really rolled over here today. Up until the last couple days, our crop has really hung in there and looked fairly decent because we've got cooler nights and the plants have had a chance to relax and do something. We, in fact, saw the beans show quite a bit of growth over the last week, but it's rather worrisome as we look. Just as a indication, my swimming pool lost probably about 500 gallons in 2 days just out of evaporation.
It moves quickly, and things can change so fast. I know I made a trip from here to Champaign, that is, to Peoria yesterday through Bloomington and then Peoria following a ride along the interstate, and it was just beautiful. It was a really gorgeous crop, but that gorgeous crop can change in a couple of heartbeats, I think.
Well, you know, on Sunday afternoon, we drove up to Lafayette, and once we got north of Crawfordsville or Route 74, they got some rain up there, and their crops looked very nice, too. It's south of 74 here in Indiana is very moisture deficit.
I know the folks out west seemed awfully alarmed, some of those that I follow, talking about the crops even in Iowa, that Iowa and Minnesota could be in trouble in the not-too-distant future, although I think they've still got plenty of moisture at this point on wind and it's going to be hot, although even the hot temperatures are going to be alleviated a bit later in the week.
You know, the noon forecast, as we looked at that, the model remains consistent for the rest of this week with rain over the northwest half of things. But down here, and certainly we remain pessimistic for Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. But the weather forecast, or the temperatures for next week's forecast do turn cooler, not necessarily below normal, but at least down to normal for next week's time period.
I did see on the wire service, it looked like there were quite a few producers that are taking advantage of the higher prices, maybe for both old crop and new crop sales. Right thing to do or not?
Well, you know, we held, we sort of sat on our hands today as far as making new sales. We're sort of in an area where we're not sure we're going to have rain for tasseling and pollination here, so we're not quite as aggressive as those that got rain. If we'd been in an area that got rain, we might consider it. You know, the contract high for November beans is $14. We got to $13.95 today, so that was within a nickel, the best you could have ever done as far as marketing your beans. But We think if the weather forecast stays dry through the Midwest here for a while, we'll see a little more push.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Don.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.